Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about the Minnesota National Guard's efforts to go green, and we'll visit with an organization designed to help veterans do business together. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Joining Community Forces Minnesota has been established to collaborate and synchronize community resources to support veterans, service members, and their families. Early this spring, a series of Joining Community Forces Minnesota meetings are taking place around our state. We recently gathered at Normandale Community College in Bloomington, and in the near future, we will be uniting people in the Mankato area, Detroit Lakes, Marshall, and Duluth. I know you all have heard of our Yellow Ribbon Networks, and in fact, there are Yellow Ribbon Networks established in each of the communities that are hosting the upcoming Joining Community Forces Minnesota meetings. This is a way for us to tap into the movement that was started by First Lady Michelle Obama and Dr. Jill Biden. Their program, called Joining Forces, highlights employment resources and transition assistance. Hosting Joining Community Forces Minnesota meetings is a way to ensure we are not leaving any stone unturned when it comes to supporting our military members and their families. For information on upcoming meetings in your area, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now to talk about the Minnesota National Guard's Sustainable Infrastructure Program are Lieutenant Colonel Saul Sukut, the Deputy Construction and Facilities Management Officer, and Marty Skoglund, the Environmental Program Director. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Colonel, this is a big topic, and I understand it's one of the priorities of the Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, sustainable infrastructure. Can you tell us about a 10,000-foot level view? What does all that mean to 63 facilities and all of the guardsmen and women in Minnesota?
Sure. To start with, this is very important, as you mentioned, to the Adjutant General. He has what he calls his state campaign plan, and that state campaign plan has six parts to it. There's posters all over the armories here in Minnesota, and one of those six lines of action is sustainable infrastructure. So when the boss only has six priorities on his statewide campaign plan, and one of those is sustainable infrastructure, it becomes pretty clear that that's important to him.
And Colonel, I know there's 63 armories in the state. How many buildings, this must be a big job. There has to be a lot of buildings, and some of them are a little old.
They are. There's over 1,400 buildings for the Minnesota National Guard to take care of. In terms of why it's important, you'd ask, one of the things is just being good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars. As an example, our utilities bill for the Minnesota National Guard is about $4 million a year. That's the same amount that we get budgeted from DOD to send all of our officers and NCOs to their training courses for an entire year. So every dollar we can save to pay utility bills or to pay for infrastructure is more money over time that'll be available for other means.
Yeah, Marty, I'd like you to jump in here. We've got some of those buildings, I suppose, have been out there 50 years or so, and you're building some new buildings and you're remodeling buildings. There's a lot more technology available today to make our infrastructure more sustainable and cost effective than there was 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
Oh, that's for sure, Tom. What we've seen is with some of our batch projects, as we call it, we take an older building and then multiple components go into renovating and restoring that building, and including with that are some of the highest tech energy saving devices that we can come up with to try to make that building more efficient and more functional, saving the dollars in the process. Unfortunately, in some cases, we have buildings that have not had the amenities that some of our newer buildings have. And so by adding those amenities, we're actually, in some cases, we're putting a greater demand for more energy to make them more comfortable for the occupants. But that's just bringing those buildings up to today's standards.
Colonel, that's 1,400 buildings. That's a lot of buildings. How do you get up to speed on all those and understand what kind of shape they're in and what kind of care they've had in the past?
Well, we do what's called an installation status report, and it's essentially, you know, if you're familiar with your home, it's a home inspection, but we're doing it at a facility level. And so we go in and you look at everything from foundation to HVAC systems to even carpet and what the paint on the walls looks like. And that generates an objective picture of what the building condition is. And then age factors into that as well. And then we try to plan for periodic maintenance on those buildings every 25 to 35 years, you know, a remodel, if you will, as Marty mentioned, the batch. And so there's just like a house, you have to put new roof on a building when it starts to go bad or periodically to save money. So that installation status report is really important to us. It helps us prioritize the order in which we're going to do planned maintenance on our facilities, because there is a budget constraint. It's not unlimited dollars. And so you have to prioritize where you're going to spend those dollars and take care of the buildings, ideally before something goes bad, just like your roof in your house.
So, Colonel, are there mandates or statutes that require you your efforts here, or just goals set by the Adjutant General?
There are. For the sustainability program, a lot of this is tied to some congressional legislation that was passed nationally back in 2005. And one of the requirements is that DOD facilities will reduce their energy costs by 3% per year using 2003 as a baseline. And so Minnesota National Guard is on board to reach those objectives. The other requirement is that DOD facilities have 25% of their energy requirements provided by renewable sources or procured through renewable resources by 2025.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Sol Sukut and Marty Skoglund about the Minnesota National Guard's sustainable infrastructure on Minnesota Military Radio. Marty, what are some of the things we're doing to meet these mandates and requirements?
Some of the biggest things we see right now are change out in some of our lightings, going to LED lighting, interior as well as exterior, huge savings in that regard. Geothermal energy has become a very proven technology, particularly at Camp Ripley and some transient buildings that have had in place now. I think it's about 3 years it's been functioning, 45% savings in energy. We're also exploring the idea of because this is more than just energy, it's water and waste. That's kind of a three-tier approach to meeting the Adjutant General's campaign plan and meeting what's referred to as the net zero program for the Army. And we're looking at exploring the idea of liquid food composting to eliminate that and divert that material from our landfills. And a variety of things, recycling water from the wastewater treatment facility at Camp Ripley, for example, and recharging the aquifer with that water that's now being discharged to the river. Some examples of things that are happening.
Colonel, can you explain to us what exactly is net zero?
So net zero is it's a program that really encompasses reduction in waste, reduction in energy usage, and conservation of water. So it's that kind of renew, reuse, recycle picture that you might have seen on, you know, the side of a trash can is part of that. The other piece to it, though, is that it's not just about the conservation of resources. We also look at how to change behavior. And just like you would at home, turn the lights off when you're not using them. There are some easy things. At the same time, it's one of the most difficult things to do is to change that personal behavior. So as we go forward in some of these new buildings, as Marty was talking about technology, some of the newer buildings have the motion sensor lights in them. They have HVAC systems, heating, ventilation, air conditioning systems that are actually on a timer and a program that when you get ready to leave for the day, you don't have to remember to turn the thermostat down. The computer knows that you typically leave the office at 5. It cools the building off at night in Minnesota here. It'll set the temperature back. And then it starts warming the building up before you show up in the morning. And then also, of course, it keeps it cooled during the weekends rather than heating that building when nobody's in it.
So, Colonel, part of this initiative must be, as always, with the Minnesota National Guard, soldiers and airmen, training, training, training. But some of the new technology allows you to take some of those decisions out of their hands, and it just automatically helps save energy.
That's true. And we are going out and doing some advertising, you might say. We've done some posters that we're publishing and putting out in the different armories, as well as a cling. It's almost like a fathead, if you're familiar with that, and it goes over the light socket as a reminder, because some of our facilities don't have the new technology, and we still require on that man in the loop to remember to turn the thermostat down in the evening and to turn the lights off when they leave the room.
Always comes back to good people, doesn't it?
That's right.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Minnesota National Guard's sustainable infrastructure. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today about the Minnesota National Guard Sustainable Infrastructure Program, which is one of the priorities that General Nash, the Adjutant General, has put in place for this year. And we're talking to Lieutenant Colonel Sol Sukut, the Deputy Construction and Facilities Management Officer, and Marty Skoglund, the Environmental Program Director. Colonel, we've had a good session there in the first segment. Are there some specific initiatives that are backing up this program guard-wide through all those facilities?
Yes, there are. One of the things we're looking at is our metering and monitoring. So in order to have a good feel for whether the energy savings pieces are working, or the thing that we talked about in the first segment, the human behavior, whether it's actually having an effect, you need to have effective monitoring. So we're looking at upgrading all of our systems. If they don't have the automated setbacks, the computer that tells the building when to cool off, at the very least having monitoring installed so we know whether or not our behavior change is working. We're also looking at biomass up at Camp Ripley, which would effectively be burning wood pulp to create both heat and potentially to create power for Camp Ripley. One of the DOD requirements that we talked about earlier was also energy security. And so the ability to produce electricity and power and heat on Camp Ripley off of the grid, you might say, is one of the requirements that DOD is asking all of its installations to look at.
Be pretty interesting to make Camp Ripley self-sufficient, wouldn't it?
It would.
And I imagine that's one of the goals the general asks you about once in a while.
Can we do this?
Oh, Marty, are you looking at all the new technology, wind feasibility, geothermal heating, some of those things?
We're looking at it all. Colonel Herkey, the facility management officer, is really intrigued with all the different technologies that are out there. And we're entertaining them all. We have a wind study that's going on right now at Camp Ripley to see if it is feasible to look at wind energy on camp. Geothermal, we know, is working and in the process of actually installing a new geothermal grid to serve our new education center. And we're looking at a couple other buildings on camp that we would be expanding that geothermal. It's been a proven technology at camp, and so we would like to continue down that vein. As I said, liquid food composting, the biomass, we think that's a real home run. It's a natural with 35,000 acres of commercial forest that comprise Camp Ripley. It's a natural that we would have the resource available to be able to fuel that biomass facility, not to mention what's out there in the surrounding area. So some technologies, I think, that exciting things are ahead.
So you're really looking at all of the new technology and how and where it can be used and used most efficiently.
Correct.
Colonel, this sounds pretty exciting. You've got a lot of buildings, but you've got a lot of tools in the box, too.
And that's true. You know, one of the challenges, of course, is how to pay for all this. And so one of the initiatives is called the Guaranteed Energy Savings Program, and this is run through the state of Minnesota. They have companies that have gotten pre-approved to look at your proposed energy savings projects that you would like to undertake. And they do the study, decide to figure out, you know, whether it's feasible, how much is it going to cost. And then those private companies actually come in, they build the requirement for you, and then you pay off the loan essentially based on the energy savings. So, for example, if they built a photovoltaic lighting system or electricity production for your building to reduce your electricity costs, you would actually still keep paying the same electricity bill, but the difference between your real energy uses now and what you used to use would go to pay off that loan. And so it's a real unique opportunity for public sector entities to, on fixed budgets, to actually get their energy savings built from the private sector.
So just like a for-profit business would use a contractor and some rebates from Xcel Energy and finance improvements that will save energy, you have access to some of those programs as well.
Exactly.
Nice to know the Minnesota National Guard's taking advantage of everything that's out there, Colonel.
You want to stretch every dollar as far as you can.
And I'll bet you heard that from General Nash.
We're always trying to be good stewards of the tax dollars. And at the end of the day, we're all taxpayers as well. So every dollar we save is a dollar. I always try to look at it. It's a dollar I'm saving, hopefully, in my taxes at some point.
We're talking about the Minnesota National Guard Sustainable Infrastructure Program on Minnesota Military Radio, and our guests today have been Lieutenant Colonel Sol Sukut and Marty Skoglund. Colonel, we've always talked about Camp Ripley, a fantastic facility, 53,000 acres, all that. There's another really interesting training facility here in town, Arden Hills. Can you describe that to us?
Yeah, we just recently opened what I would say really is it's a green campus on the Arden Hills facilities. And that's kind of where we're going in terms of new construction. Is it's not just enough to make the building itself energy efficient. We're looking at the area around the building, wastewater runoff, making it a system, you know, an environmentally green system, you might say, rather than just a building. And some of the unique things out there are a photovoltaic system that's providing about 6.5% of the electricity costs for the facility. When you talk about the whole system, they redesigned the roof and redesigned light fixtures to let natural light in. And so during the day, which is predominantly when your occupancy is up and when your lights would need to be used, they've seen some significant reductions in their electricity costs just by the way that they rearranged the windows and ceilings.
So, Marty, there was a new facility, what was it, about 100,000 square feet that was built in Arden Hills, and did you take advantage of all the new technology with it?
It certainly did. In fact, it's in a position right now to be what they consider under construction standards to be at a threshold of which is considered gold. The normal construction standard is silver by this the LEED standard, and I'm sorry, that acronym is
Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design.
Anyway, the LEED standard is one that the National Guard Bureau sets the threshold at silver, but with the Arden Hills Field Maintenance Shop, it's achieving a gold standard, and that's a significant accomplishment because they've incorporated so many new technologies into that construction.
Colonel, it sounds like, once again, the Minnesota National Guard is leading the way. Are we getting any national recognition for your programs?
We did. The environmental team that Marty's in charge of just this year was recognized nationally. It escapes me what it was.
It's the Environmental Quality Team Award actually, we won at the National Guard level, and just recently, just last week, we learned we also won at the Army level. So for all the Army installations, Army National Guard installations, we were the winners of that, and now we're in competition for the Department of Defense.
Congratulations. Good work. Gentlemen, when we had some folks on talking about the Arden Hills facility, I think about a year ago, they were talking about being good neighbors and having a buffer zone around the Arden Hills facility so that when our troops are out there training, they're not harassing the neighbors. And I think you've got a similar program up at Camp Ripley, don't you?
That's correct. We established a program in 2004. It's called the Army Compatible Use Buffer ACUB program. That was established, and we were the second in the nation to do so, not realizing that at some point it was going to be key to every installation to take a look at that. And we have been very successful without soliciting any involvement from the willing landowners only. We have over 300 landowners that came to the table willing to participate. And basically what the program is doing is purchasing development rights from those landowners to minimize incompatible development, residential development in particular, in proximity within 3 miles of Camp Ripley. Been a very successful program, and we've even created a new wildlife management area that's amounts to about 3,600 acres of public land available for the public, and everything that's being done in the buffer program is into perpetuity forever.
So this essentially eliminates the opportunity for someone to come in, develop something new, and then the next day say, hey, you're bothering me over there, despite the fact you've been there for years and years and years.
Exactly. The noise, the dust, the smoke that's associated with military training, we're trying to minimize the negative impact that's having on the surrounding neighbors.
Marty, we've just got about a minute and a half left. Any final thoughts about the Minnesota National Guard Sustainable Infrastructure Program?
I think just one thing I might say is having the backdrop of the campaign plan has made it easy for us to develop a sustainability plan for the entire Minnesota National Guard. It gave us a vision, and it's given us focus, and it's very consistent with where the Army would like to see us, as well as Department of Defense. And we're on track and excited about all the changes that I see coming that were just a mere thought, and very excited about the changes that are happening.
Colonel, I understand this is a new position for you. It sounds like an exciting one for me, to me, with an awful lot of stuff to do and some fun things to do to help save some money.
It is. I've been on the job for about 2 months now, so I've had to study quite a bit, but I have a civil engineering background, and this stuff is very interesting and fun. And I guess, you know, I would tell the listeners that, you know, Minnesota National Guard, obviously we're there to provide that ready force for the governor and for national as required. But we're also looking to take care of your tax dollars right here at home by being good stewards on the environmental and the sustainability side with our structures and our areas.
Gentlemen, sounds like you're doing a fantastic job for the state of Minnesota, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
That was Lieutenant Colonel Sol Sukut and Marty Skoglund talking about the Minnesota National Guard Sustainable Infrastructure Program. In a moment, we'll be back to talk with an organization designed to help veterans do business together. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about an organization that helps bring veterans together to do business together. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly message from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shalito.
President's Day, also known as Washington's Birthday, is a United States federal holiday that is celebrated each year. We celebrate in honor of President George Washington, our country's first president. Washington was also Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army during the Revolutionary War. General George Washington was a compassionate military leader whose courage and determination inspired his troops. His refusal to give up or quit made the difference between victory and defeat on more than one occasion. General Washington was devoted to the well-being of his troops. As with Memorial Day and Veterans Day, President's Day allows us another opportunity to honor our country's veterans. On President's Day, we pay tribute to the brave and audacious Commander-in-Chief, George Washington, and celebrate all U.S. presidents, past and present.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now to talk about how veteran business owners can get together and help each other do some business is the founder and president of Trust Vets, LLC, Joe Johnson. Joe, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good afternoon, Tom. Thanks for having us in.
Trust Vets. What is it? Where'd you get the idea for it, and how long has it been around?
Trust Vets? The website was launched last March, March 1st, so we're just coming up on the one-year anniversary here. It's a networking organization that drives business to American military veterans. We don't promote individual businesses. We promote individual veterans. It's a chance for veterans to serve each other here at home, and it's a chance for communities to serve their veterans. So at TrustVets.com, we have an online directory of verified American military veterans in business. So if you need a painter, a plumber, a mechanic, a dentist, you visit TrustVets.com, and it gives you the opportunity to do business with fellow veterans.
Now, Joe, I understand you're not a veteran.
I'm not.
Where did you get interested in helping veterans, and where did this idea come from?
Okay. My previous career, you know, historically has been sales, and so I've done a tremendous amount of time networking through chambers of commerce and business networking international and different networking organizations. But as far as the military ties, that goes all the way back to when I was a kid. I have a very strong military family and background. The first trip we ever took was Fort Bragg when my brother was in basic training down there. The second trip I ever took was to Camp Pendleton, and so it's always been in my blood, so to speak. And I guess it just came to the point where I'm at that point in my life where I didn't serve the military, so the least I can do is serve its veterans.
Well, you look like a sturdy enough guy. Maybe the Marines should have got you, Joe.
Well, I have. I did visit Camp Pendleton, but they didn't snatch me up when they had the chance. So, but yeah, we're coming up on the 1 year anniversary of Trust Vets, and what it does specifically for veterans is inside of the directory we have similar professions where you have a veteran who works as a commercial banker, and a veteran who works as a commercial insurance agent, and another that does mergers and acquisitions, another that does website development. And so it's a chance for them to take care of each other professionally, but more importantly, it gives them an in-depth resource. They have this entire network of fellow veterans so they can better serve their clients' needs. And so it's about passing business and passing referrals to American military veterans to thank them for their service.
Now, Joe, it's a great idea, and I've seen the website, and I've been on there in the news lately. The Congress has come up with a new Stolen Valor Act,
mm-hmm.
and I heard you say a few minutes ago that you verify that the veterans that are a portion are participating in Trust Vet are veterans. Can you tell us about the process?
Yes.
If I'm a veteran, I own a business, and I want to be part of Trust Vets, what do I do?
Well, we have online enrollment. There's a veterans-only section on the website, but you do have to provide a valid military ID or DD-214 for eligibility. No one is allowed on the site, and no one is published on the site until we have verified their service in the military.
And you started this Trust Vets here in Minnesota.
Yes, this was started in Minnesota. I spent about the first 6 months selling thin air. I started the idea, and the first printer I came across served the 82nd Airborne, and I told him, I'll give you the first profile on a non-existent website in exchange for the first round of flyers and business cards to get it started. And he signed on right away, happy and excited for the opportunity to serve fellow veterans. And so from there, it took about 6 months to get enough members to get the website launched. And now, as of today, we currently serve veterans in over 45 different industries here in the Twin Cities, and we've begun nationalization because at its heart, Trust Vets is a self-contained stimulus package for veterans. So nationally, we've identified 110 full-time positions for member coordinators in which we are hiring American military veterans to serve and facilitate the efforts on a local level. And so at the end of the day, we're putting veterans back to work, driving business to fellow veterans.
So Joe, just how does Trust Vets help veterans in business?
Well, it's the entire spectrum. And so, you know, at this point, there's a lot of the Vietnam-era veterans that are looking to segue out of business. They're looking for exit strategies. They're looking for ways to retire. And so it gives them an opportunity to hop on our site and find a business attorney that they can do business with and figure out that they can figure out their exit strategy. They can plug it into an entire network from the bankers and the attorneys and the business professionals that they need to segue out of their business. And on the opposite end of the pendulum, we have a lot of veterans returning home and starting businesses. A good example of that is Ryan Dolliver on our site. He couldn't find employment when he got back from deployment. And so he stomped down to the hardware store and got a bucket and a squeegee and said, I'm a window washing company. And he's very proud and he works tremendously hard to build his business. And we recently got a testimonial from him that just through the connections with these veterans that he's met in the Twin Cities, he's had to hire two full-time employees in less than a year just to keep up because there are so many veterans in the community that want to do business with fellow veterans. It makes sense in so many circumstances, in so many industries. You know, we have a veteran on the site that served the Navy that now works on boats. We have another gentleman that led the Navy SEALs on the most sophisticated special operations mission in history, and now he's here teaching self-defense and gun training. And so there's just so many facets of this where it just, in most circumstances, it just makes sense to do business with veterans, and so we're making that simple.
We're speaking with Joe Johnson, the founder and president of Trust Vets Inc., or Trust Vets LLC, which can be found at trustvets.com on Minnesota Military Radio. Joe, used to be that if I wanted to find a veteran business owner in a specific business, you could go out and you could Google it and you could do things, and there were some sketchy lists. There wasn't really a very good place to go find them. How do you stand apart from some of the other places, and what makes you different? What makes you more unique?
Well, the thing of what we're building is that it's about the individual veterans. And so the water gets a little muddy when you're talking about veteran-friendly companies or companies that you know, they serve veterans, and there's a lot of feel good and there's a lot of PR right now around the veteran community. But with what we're building, it takes it down to just that base level. Like Dave Wydell on the site is a realtor. He ultimately works at Remax, but we're not driving business to RE/MAX. We're driving business to Dave, the Marine, who served multiple tours. And so there are other websites out there that feature veteran business owners. But for us, it's all the way down to the individual level. We have John Zillhart in Northeast Minneapolis, who is inside of U.S. Bank. And he ultimately doesn't own the bank, but he's a veteran just the same. And he has served, and we'd like a chance to pass him business.
Joe, tell us about the process. Once a veteran decides to join Trust Vets, what do you do for them? Do you build them a page? Do you put up a bio? What's it look like?
Yep. We build a profile on the site. We build the categories inside of that. So they get to have a photo of themselves, their service. There's room for up to four photos. We do a map to their office, website links, email links. We make it a very simple process for them. But then in addition to that, we run monthly networking meetings around town for veterans, for current and prospective members to come in and get to know one another. And so currently we're hosting them in Blaine at the Rasmussen College. We also host one at the Better Business Bureau in Burnsville. That is the second Tuesday of every month, and we're getting ready to launch Minnetonka here next week. But it's multi-location monthly networking meetings where they can come in face-to-face, shake hands, pass business cards, and start forming referral partnerships with their fellow veterans in town.
And tell the story about what they're doing in business.
Exactly.
All right. Now, how many members? You said you had 45 different business categories. How many members do you have now in Minnesota?
Currently in Minnesota, in less than a year, we've expanded to over 45 industries. We have over 60 individual veterans that we're driving business to today.
And Joe, what's in the future for Trust Vets for Minnesota? Are you going to be letting the public know that if you want to find a veteran that owns a business, here's where you go? You're going to do some marketing. What's in the future?
Yeah, we've been working very hard to build the infrastructure first, and now we're getting ready to introduce ourselves to the community and through the media. And what we're asking for is very simple. Join us in doing business with American military veterans at trustvets.com. Trust Vets, they've earned it.
Trustvetsvet.com, and we'll have a link to that on our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook site. Joe, 1 year's just about over. You've come a long way. Where do you think you're going to be a year from now?
The hope is a year from now we'll have veterans working full-time in every state in the country, coordinating monthly meetings and driving business to the fellow veterans in their communities. And so just the success stories we've had on a local level in Blaine, I won't name names, but in Blaine we had a veteran that just came in that started a business, and he said, I have very little capital, I'm just getting going. And through the course of that networking meeting, he met a business attorney who vowed to help him with his paperwork and a website developer who offered for $15 to build him a website. And that vet walked out of that meeting 2 inches taller and empowered. All we did was facilitate the introductions. Once veterans get a chance to get to know each other, they will serve each other given the opportunity.
Veterans helping veterans. It's something that you just don't understand unless you've been there, do you?
That's the theory.
Joe, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we want to meet a business owner who's a member of TrustVets.com and see how it's helping his business. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been visiting with Joe Johnson, the founder and president of TrustVets.com. Joe, I know that we've got a special guest in the studio. You brought along one of your members. Who did you bring with you today?
Today I brought Don Rally of Evolve Systems. Don is he's a staple member, and he's a great example of what we're building here because the veterans on our site, they're not on there for a pat on the back. They don't want recognition for their service. What they want is the opportunity to serve fellow veterans and to be a resource for their fellow vets in the community and serve them through their civilian career. And so Don has been a tremendous asset for that and for being able to introduce fellow veterans and bring them into what he does and to help them through his profession.
Now he's shaking his head over there. I think he wants the pat on the back and the opportunity to do business. Don, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Don, how did you find Trust Vets and how did you meet this guy?
Well, I got a call from Joe, and he wanted to introduce the idea of what Trust Vets could do, and he asked a couple questions that really intrigued me. One of them was, what are you doing to serve your fellow veterans? And I thought it was an excellent question, and I really didn't have a very good answer. I mean, I had a couple answers. I've worked with veterans. I hire veterans in my own company, but I didn't really know what else I could do. And Joe gave me the opportunity to connect with fellow veterans and really get to know them on a personal level. And I think that was the opportunity that really intrigued me the most.
Now, Don, you were in the Army?
I was. I served 8 years active duty. I joined the Army in 1984. I was picked up by the 3rd Infantry Regiment, the Old Guard in Washington, D.C., where I served both as a presidential guard for President Ronald Reagan, and then I served as a sentinel at the Tomb of the Unknowns. From there, I was accepted into military intelligence school, where Went to the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California for Russian, and then I served on the East German border between East Germany, West Germany, and Czechoslovakia.
And on your business now?
It's called Evolve Systems, and it's broken up into two different sides. We do credit card merchant services and website development, and the way that the two of them merge is through e-commerce. So we can work with veteran-owned businesses to help set up all the things they need to do to basically open their door, or if they're an established business, have the ability to save them money or help them market over time.
So, Don, after you met Joe, he talked you into this and set up a page for you on trustvets.com.
He did. And through that page, I've been able to connect with several other veterans. Specifically, what I've been using it for is to find other veterans that I can do business with. I have hired several of them that are also fellow members of Trust Vets, and they're doing work for me actually right now. I had a meeting this morning with one of them that we're going through a two-month engagement that would never have happened had it not been for Trust Vets.
And Don, why do you want to work with other veterans?
You know, one of the things that happens in the military is you learn the camaraderie and the brotherhood that comes with service. You learn that the sacrifice now is not about you, but it's a sacrifice for your community and for others. We have the ability to form a bond. And what that means in our civilian life is if I'm given the opportunity to work between two businesses and one is a veteran-owned business, I know that they've got the moral integrity. I know they've got the service behind them. And I know more than anything else, they'll have my back and I'll have theirs. And if I'm given that opportunity, I'll work with a veteran every single time.
So you found the opportunity to join Trust Vets is good for your business?
So far, it's been a tremendous asset to my business, not just from the standpoint of being able to say, yes, I'm a member of Trust Vets, but I'm plugged into a community of like-minded veterans who are watching each other. And we have we have each other's best interests in mind when we get together. When veterans meet, we have an immediate bond between us. We shake hands and in 2 minutes we're best friends because we've been there, done that. We've served in the same places. We've experienced the same things. When I look a fellow veteran in the eye and we shake hands and we say we're going to do business, I know that both of us are going to fulfill our promises because we fulfilled our promise to the United States.
Joe, I think you picked the right guy to bring on the show. It sounded like a pretty ringing endorsement of Trust Vets and how it can work for other veteran business owners. We've got about a minute left. What's in your future? I know you're expanding to other states. And how easy is it for veteran business owners to join?
It's very easy. We are going national. We're building that infrastructure. So on trustvets.com, there's a veterans-only section on the top that explains membership benefits and enrollment and how to get started there. But one of the big things I'd like to just say is that there are a lot of studies now showing that nearly 6 in 10 veterans wish to start a business of their own. And so we're organically helping some of those issues that they can come on here and meet a business attorney and someone to build their website and someone to handle their paperwork. And so there's a self-contained network there. So whether they're starting a business, growing a business, or exiting a business, we've got the infrastructure built where they can exclusively work with fellow veterans to do exactly what they need to do and make sure they're taken care of. The other side of it is getting the community to join us in doing business with American military veterans. There's a lot of great ways to give back to veterans in the community or to say thank you. But this at its heart is as simple as it gets. Just join us in doing business with them. Use them as your banker and your insurance agent. And if you need to buy a car, across the spectrum, we're asking you to spend your dollars with American military veterans.
So for all our veteran business owners out there, that's trustvets.com. Don, Joe, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
Joe Johnson, the founder and president of Trust Vets, and Don Raleigh from EvolveSystems.com. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leinhart. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
How's everything been for our Minnesota Patriot Guard riders?
It's been a little bit challenging as far as weather, but we haven't missed a mission.
Coldest winter we've had in quite a few years.
Coldest winter, yep.
And lots of missions this winter?
Lots of missions.
Who'd you bring with you today?
I've got Joe Egan here. He's a Minnesota Patriot Guard assistant ride captain on the Northwest Metro.
Joe, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
It has been a cold and snowy winter, and you go out on those missions. Have you gone out on them when it's 18, 20 below?
And colder yet.
And how do you take care of everybody so that nobody gets hurt?
Well, the ride captains are in charge of safety for everybody, but sometimes they get a little bit too proud and want to stay out there and don't want to go in for getting warm.
Your riders wouldn't be stubborn, would they?
Sometimes.
Why were you looking at Tim when we said that, Joe? Tell us about some of these missions, okay. Would you?
Yeah, for sure. For example, one was a funeral we were invited to for a female KIA in a small town about 100 miles west of here, and protesters were expected, so many PGR ventured out on a 20-below day and from all over the state to support this fallen hero and her family and friends. Some arrived late because of the ground blizzards, yet they forged ahead and arrived. And there in the flag line stood 60 PGR outside the church for 3 hours in wind chill factors near 60 below. No one complained or even asked for a break. It was simply that important to be there. And many of the PGR members are from the Vietnam War. Some came home with mud and blood on their uniforms and were spit on and by their fellow citizens who were called killers. And for all they went through, their character still includes the desire to volunteer and provide comfort to mourners, even though they're complete strangers, and provide unconditional support to fellow members and treat them like a brother or sister. And we share strong bonds to the emotions of empathy and compassion and reinforce to each other about the importance of goodness and decency, plus great respect for America and the American flag. And we volunteer to do good things for complete strangers with honor, dignity, and respect, because it's about doing more for others than more for yourself.
Tim, if all your riders are like Joe, wow.
Most of them are.
But I'm worried about them when they're out there in the extreme conditions, 100 degrees in the summertime and 20 below in the wintertime. They've got to take care of themselves.
We try to even take care of them, but they sometimes refuse to even go in and take a little break because they're there. They're there because the one that they're standing for can't be.
Well, I've seen it, and it's fantastic, and your riders do a wonderful job. Who's eligible to join the Minnesota Patriot
Guard? Anyone's eligible.
Don't have to have a motor scooter?
Don't have to have a scooter. You don't have to have anything. All you need is a flag and the open heart.
Flag, a pole, and a good heart.
You betcha.
And be willing to go out and honor those who have passed and served our country.
Yes, it's one of our duties as citizens to be able to honor those that have fought and fallen for our rights to do what we do today.
Tim, I want you to talk to all your ride captains and make sure they take good care of your riders. I don't want anybody coming back with skin problems from 20 below.
We do.
All right. You guys are doing a great job. I'd like to thank you for joining us again today. From the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Tim Leonhardt and Joe Egan. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Marty Skoglund, Lieutenant Colonel Sol Sukut, Joe Johnson, Don Raleigh, Tim Leonhardt, and Joe Egan from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelato from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we'll meet two of our state's biggest yellow ribbon companies, and we'll see how the Minneapolis VA healthcare system is adopting to serve our women veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.